May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So, Jesus called the disciples and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you." About 8 years ago, I got in trouble telling this story. But then I think the people I was talking to didn't realize that I'd got German ancestors. So, see what you make of it. I'm going to tell you about someone who really took this to heart and not in a nice way. His name was Friedrich Wilhelm. He was the king of Prussia in the east of Germany in the 1700s. And he was a hot-tempered fellow who had little time for politeness and ceremony. He would often walk through the streets of Berlin, accompanied only by his trusty silver-topped walking stick. And woe betide anyone who got in his way or displeased him in any way, which happened quite often, as you can imagine. Many a hapless citizen went back home carrying the bruises from that walking stick. So, the result was that if you saw Friedrich coming in the distance, you would quietly turn into a side alley or a shop and wait until he'd gone by. Well, on one occasion, Friedrich was pounding down a street, and one hapless Berliner noticed him coming really rather too late. And his attempt to escape into the doorway of a house was noticed by the tetchy monarch, who said, "You there, where are you going?" Shaking in his boots, the man replied, "Into this house, your majesty." "Do you live here?" "No, your majesty." "So, does a friend of yours live here, eh?" "No, your majesty." "So then, why were you trying to open the door? Tell me that, eh?" The poor man was so confused by now, he wondered if the king thought he might be a burglar or something worse. There's only one thing he could do. He had to confess. So he said, "Forgive me, your majesty. I was trying to get in to avoid meeting you, your majesty." "But why would you want to avoid me? Speak up." "Forgive me, your majesty, but I wanted to avoid you because I am afraid of you, your majesty." At this, the king's face became very red, and in his fury, he took hold of the man by the lapels of his coat, and he shook the man violently, and he shouted at him, "How dare you be afraid of me? How dare you? I am your king. You are supposed to love me. Love me, wretched man, love me." Brilliant, eh? Almost on a par with some of the world's leaders today, but I'm not up here to talk politics. But it does beg a question: does our love for God have that kind of quality about it? Love me or else. How scary is it? How scary is it to make yourself the subject of God? In Isaiah, first reading this morning, the suffering servant of God is stricken for the offenses of many and led like a lamb to the slaughter. In the letter to the Hebrews, our second reading for today, Jesus, the Son of God, learns obedience through his suffering. In our gospel, he comes to us as a servant and to sacrifice his life for us all. No wonder James and John, the sons of Zebedee, in our gospel this morning, want to know what they will get out of it. But Jesus is adamant, and his words prefigure those of Winston Churchill in his first speech to Parliament after becoming Prime Minister in 1940. "I have nothing to offer you," you know these words, "but blood, toil, tears and sweat." I talked about today's readings with some friends, and the topic of, well, a number of things came up. One was the topic of the present-day refugees and how it must feel to be deprived of your home and your culture and to be at the mercy of strangers. Then we talked about the suffering of the exiles in the time of Isaiah and how they became able. In the end, they became able to see their sufferings as a force for good. The question we asked then was whether this helped them to understand the love and the saving power of God. And we came to the conclusion that, seen through the eyes of Jesus and the Christian understanding of God, it is much more and much better than a word from God that says, "You better love me or else." When Jesus offered James and John blood, sweat, and tears instead of seats of honor, he was, of course, right. We are all inheritors of the toil, the suffering, and the anxiety of fallen humanity. That is not good news. That is how we are before we receive the good news. In Jesus, God gives us a way to make these negative aspects of our life into a living offering, into something redemptive that will help to bring in a new kingdom. The new kingdom will not be a kingdom of fear as Friedrich Wilhelm's Prussia was. It will be a new creation in which our sufferings cease to be futile and meaningless and are given value by the work of Jesus on the cross. As Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave to all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Amen.